Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Acts chapter 5. I want to show you something from the Word of God. You can stay there, Ben. Acts chapter 5. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's a true ghost story. Right here. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. When you have it, say amen. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it. And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, you got to understand what's happening. The Bible says that this couple, they were married. They had a possession, or they had a real estate or land, and they sold it. And what was happening in amongst the early church at this time, if you go back to Acts chapter 2, the Bible talks about how the people were selling their land and selling their houses, and they were bringing the proceeds from their sales, and they were bringing it to the apostles for the distribution of the saints, so that no one will have need, so that they were taking care of anyone. You guys remember that in Acts 2? The Bible says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers, and they were taking their land and they were selling their houses so that no one could be in lack. There was a supernatural generosity happening in the early church. True ghost story. And so this was being practiced amongst the people. And now the Bible says that this couple wanted to get in on that. And so they also chose to sell their property. But instead of bringing the full amount of what they sold, the Bible says they kept back a part of it. This man Ananias kept a part of it. And his wife was aware of what he did. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now watch this, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? I want you to pay attention to what Peter said. He lets us know Satan can fill someone's heart with a lie. Right? One of the things that the Bible calls the devil is a liar. And there is no truth in him. Lying is one of the most prevalent attributes in Satan and in the devil. He is the one who causes us to lie. The Bible says that he is the father of lies. Every lie, every time you lied, it was because the devil actually inspired you to do that. Right? Liars have no part in the kingdom. And one of the things that we must realize is that in order for us to walk with the Holy Ghost, we have to desire truth. The people today don't want the truth. You know that? People will rather a lie than a truth. When you tell somebody the truth, even if you're friends, they will get offended. I think one of the best things we should look for in a friend is someone who will tell me the truth. Anybody that will lie to you is not your friend. Come on. You have to love the truth, the Bible says. If you don't love the truth, you will be deceived easily. It doesn't say that we often sometimes don't lie, but what we need to realize is that God wants to work in our hearts such a desire for truth that even if the truth hurts us, we still want to hear it. And if you can't allow if you don't want the truth, then you don't want the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Look at somebody next to you and say, do you love the truth? Amen. You got to love look at somebody else and say, you got to love the truth. Come on. Now, once you posture yourself in that mindset and in that heart set and in that mentality, Then when the Holy Spirit starts to tell you the truth about yourself, you're willing to hear him. See, not just the truth he got to say about everybody else, but the truth he has to talk to you about too. Some of you need to realize that you yourself are believing lies about yourself. Because when we want something and we have not allowed the Holy Spirit, you know, the Bible says, what's that verse in Psalms? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I love that verse because it lets me know that God will give me desires that I should want. But the prerequisite for me is delighting in him first. Delight yourself in the Lord, and then he will give you the desires of your heart. I got to make sure that, God, no matter what I want, I don't want anything more than I want you. I don't want stuff more than I want the Spirit of God to remain on me, to lead me. If anything is going to cost me my relationship with God, it's too expensive. I don't want it. I'll leave it right at the table. And that's what Jesus meant. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and then lose his soul in the end? Now, the way the devil gets to us is that he lies to us. He'll tell you you're worthless. He'll tell you you're nothing. And once you believe that you're nothing or worthless, you'll get into worthless relationships. You'll get connected to worthless people because you will attract who you are or who you believe you are. So say, I want truth in the inward parts. Come on. Now watch this. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to who? Not to me. To the Holy Spirit. Peter didn't take this personal. You got to realize that when you are walking with God, when people lie to you, they're not just lying to you. They are lying to God. That's why Jesus said, you don't gotta fight or take vengeance. Vengeance is mine. If you know who you are. Someone lies to you, don't take it personal. See? But you gotta want the truth more than you want the lie. Peter discovered that this couple lied to him because the Holy Spirit in him was able to recognize. Peter wasn't in his flesh. Like, I asked myself the question, if somebody was to do that to me and they brought $500,000 here, would I have the capacity to discern that what they did was not in truth? Or would I just been so excited that I got $500,000 for the church? Right? Would I have been that sensitive, or would I have just been so excited for the money? That's why you can't take everything that's presented to you. Somebody say, like Sherwin said, somebody offered me thousands of dollars. He could have took that money and did what they said to do. But Sherwin wouldn't have been sitting here right now. He'd probably been in jail somewhere, or probably worse. You see that? But the Holy Spirit in him said, nah, that ain't good money right there. You see that? Are you aware that the devil is sending people all the time to talk you out of God's blessings, to bring you out of God's covering and God's protection? Not everybody's your friend. It is one of the most essential things you got to know about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost wants to protect you. He is your helper. Come on. He is your guide. He is your comforter. I just feel like I want to press on that right now. Don't run after people. Don't run after business deals. Don't run after everything that sounds good. Take some time and say, Holy Ghost, is this you? Holy Spirit, is this you? Or is this me? And if it's me, blow that house down. I'm telling you, if you do this now, you're going to save yourself thousands of dollars, griefs, disappointment, headaches, all that pain that comes through our disobedience. Peter said, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last breath. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out the church, and buried him. So serious. You mean to tell me lying to the Holy Spirit is that detrimental? Let's keep going. Verse 7. And now about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for this price. She said, yes, we did, for so much. Peter said to her, how is it that you both have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Now, this is New Testament. This is not Old Testament. This is under grace. This happened. Under grace, under the new covenant. I was like, Lord, why didn't Peter raise him back from the dead after that happened? They were raising people from the dead. But judgment came on this couple immediately. See, God has the right to judge us whenever he wants. But he gives us time and space to get it right. He gives us that. But if he wanted to judge me for something that I've done wrong today, he could. But he's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. But for whatever reason, what was happening in the church at this time, it was such a sensitive time that the Holy Spirit was overprotective about what was happening at that moment. That he did not allow any sin to come in, even when it tried to creep its way in. And the Holy Spirit, and it didn't come in through some robber off the street or, you know, some creep. It was believers who were in the church who were seeing the move of God that was happening. Extraordinary miracles was happening in that moment. And because of the weight of the glory of what they were exposed to, judgment was accelerated. You see, this is what happens. When you're part of a dead church and dead things, God will allow time for revival to come place. But when you're experiencing revival, you have a greater responsibility to live in response to the revelation that you're seeing. So when you're asking for more of God, and you're pressing in and you're saying, I'm hungry for God, I want you to know what you're asking for. Because as God gives you more revelation of him and more manifestation of his glory, you also have a greater responsibility to steward, to host, to protect what God is doing in your life and in the life of that church. And this is a warning. Look at what happened. After she died, they carried her out and buried her by her husband in verse 11. And so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And then through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. All right? Now, as I close, I wanted to talk about something today, which we're not going to be able to do. But I just sense that the Holy Spirit wants to remind us that the burden and the responsibility that you have today in Christ is to learn how to host the Spirit of God in your life. And you have to realize that you have the responsibility of protecting and guarding the gift of God. And as much as he has a responsibility of protecting you, you have to realize I have a responsibility to steward him, to carry him, to live with him. When I choose my will over his will, I'm rejecting the Holy Spirit. When I choose my pleasures over the pleasures of God, I'm rejecting him. When I make a priority, the things that God is not making a priority, I'm rejecting him. And I know today we live in a time where everybody is more concerned about themselves. But I want you to realize that if you are a son of God, and if you are called to bring heaven to earth, you have to learn how to die to yourself. You have to learn how to lay down your will. And you have to learn how to ask for God's will. Not just out of tradition's sake. Like I know with the Lord's Prayer, we pray that. But you got to mean it. You have to want it. This is for your protection. This is for your sake. But it's also for the sake of others. Now, where God is taking his church and the way God is setting up Hungry for God, I'm going to start prophesying to you now. What God wants to do in this house is that he wants there to be a place in New York City where people will meet us and then meet God through us. You see, people are not going to meet Jesus. They're going to meet you. And then when they meet you, they're supposed to meet Jesus because of you. And what happens is that you become, as Paul told his apostles, he said, if you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So what that means is that men or people will start becoming attracted to you. Now, this is where we mess up. Because when people start being attracted to us, we think it's us. You see? Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So, Lord, raise up laborers, right? So God has called you to go into all the world, and then the Holy Spirit makes you attractive to people that he wants to reach. But then you walking down the street, and then people start hollering at you or hollering, you know, trying to reach, they're trying to talk to you, and you think it's just because you're cute. But what you don't realize is that it's the beauty of holiness on you, because the Holy Ghost is in you, and it's attractional. Now, in their flesh, they don't understand why they're attracted to you. They don't understand why they like you. That's why the Bible says he will give you favor with people and with God. Right. People will just like you, and you don't understand why. Yeah. But you got to learn how to leverage that, not for your sake, but for the kingdom's sake. Amen. And if you seek the kingdom first, he will add all things to you. What does that mean? Ladies, if you're walking down the street, a man tries to talk to you. Is your first response, get away from me? Yes, most of y'all, right? Or even if that's your first reaction, at what point do you partner with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to this person? Holy Spirit, what are you doing in his person's life? Is it just a creep? Or is this an assignment? See, Portia said she walked past this person. God was in a wheelchair. She asked herself, is this person for real or is he up to something? The Holy Spirit said, no, give him your umbrella. And she went upstairs and got one. See, this is what the leadings of the Holy Spirit does. It makes you more mindful. And I just want you to become more mindful, more aware. The Bible says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Come on, you need all three of those things. Love, power, and a sound mind. But the devil gives you a spirit of fear. Come on, church. And you cannot walk with the Spirit and be afraid. You cannot walk in the Spirit and live in fear at the same time. God has not given you a spirit. Say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. I want you to write this down, and this, we're going to wrap up here. Write this down. The Holy Spirit is giving me power to love. The Holy Spirit is giving me power to love. The world will give you a love for power. But God is giving you a power to love. Instead of a power for love, a love for power, God is going to give you a power for love. You see, if you want the Holy Spirit and his power for any other reason, you will mutate the Spirit of God and turn it into something. You see, when the most dangerous thing in the church today is people who want the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit but don't want community. People who want the Holy Spirit and want to be anointed but don't want to be in community. That's one of the most dangerous things that we're seeing today in the church. People want the gifts of the Spirit. They want to be anointed, but they don't want to be in part of a church anymore. They don't want to walk with people anymore. They feel like I can walk with God on my own. Come on. Because it's in community you have to learn how to love. You don't need to love when you're by yourself. So if God wants you to grow in love, because he is love, you need to be in connection and in community and in fellowship with other people. It's easy to be holy by yourself. I said it's easy to be holy by yourself. Let me see how holy you are when you're in relationship with people, man. When you're doing life with other people, people who know your business, people who are checking on you and making sure you're remaining accountable, people who you get, who you're giving permission to correct me when I'm doing wrong. I'm giving you permission to tell me if I'm off. You see? This is what the power of the Holy Spirit provides for us. Not just by yourself, but when you're in relationship with other Spirit-filled believers. We discern things too. See, Peter was able to discern they were lying. The Holy Spirit told him. There are times when you might discern things. Just sitting right here in this room, some of you start discerning things. You see somebody across the room, he was like, something is wrong. This person's not the same. What's going on in their life? See, that's not just time for you to just sit there and just, all right. That's the time you get up. See, love looks like something, right? Yeah. This is the time when you get up and you say, what's going on? You want to talk? Where are you? Like God asked Adam, where are you? Are you where you need to be in life right now? Are you happy? Are you content? How's your heart? Asking questions so that people can get into your space, not because we want to be nosy or gossip, but because the Spirit of God wants to give us gifts so that we can profit, be of profit. We can be beneficial to one another. Why do you want the anointing and the gifts of the Spirit? Just so you want to add it to your spiritual resume? I can prophesy. I can speak in tongues. So what good are you? What are you doing with it? Without love, you are nothing, the Bible says. Real quick, who can tell me, let's just call out these things. The gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, tells us what the gifts of the Spirit are. Bible says not the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. All right, so in 1 Corinthians 12, he tells us that the gifts of the Spirit are what? There's 9 of them. He's given us the gift of word of wisdom. Write it down, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, the gift of healings, the gift of working of miracles, the gift of faith, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, the gift of discerning of spirits. Right? Is that all of them? You guys got that? 1 Corinthians 12, all right. I'll say it again. Word of knowledge. Thank you. It's on the screen. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. Word of wisdom through the Spirit. Word of knowledge. Next one. The gift of faith. So this is a different type of faith, right? He gives, everyone has a measure of faith, but then the Holy Spirit may give some people an even greater level of faith. It's a gift of faith. Like, I have the gift of faith. Like, I didn't realize I had a gift of faith until I got around people. I'm like, why don't y'all believe that this person could get healed? Like, it just was like, you know, we just got to pray and they'll get healed. Like, it just made sense to me. And I realized that God gave me a gift of faith, the ability to believe things to be logical and possible when other people thought it was impossible. All right. A gift of faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. That's what Peter used when he saw that these people lied to him. He discerned the gift of the discerning of spirits in him, caused his spirit to recognize that this was a lie. No one had to tell him that. The counterfeit of discerning of spirits is suspicion. Suspicion is when you're looking at people and things and you're trying to read them. And you're trying to discover something is a lie. You're not going to find truth that way. Truth is a spirit, and you have to allow the spirit inside of you to let you know something is true or not. And that requires a gift. Amen? Discerning of spirits to another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All right? You got all those things. Next, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one distributing the gifts to us. You see that? He distributes the gifts, each one individually, as he wills, as he chooses to. I'm over my time, but you guys forgive me. I ain't going to be here next week, by the way. All right? That doesn't mean you don't come next week. But what that means is I want you guys to just receive. The Holy Spirit is distributing gifts as he wills. Verse 7 tells us why. Go back to verse 7 real quick, AV team. Here's why. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's for our benefit. The gifts of the Spirit are for our benefit. If we don't use the gifts of the Spirit, we are at a tremendous deficit as a church. And not only as a church, individually. Because God will begin, if He's given us gifts individually as He wills, then that means the Holy Spirit might start giving someone else some gift that I need for a time that I'm in. If that person does not have the boldness and the faith to get up and say what God said to them for me, I will be at a loss. We only profit when we move in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to use us as He wills. I'm not going to let somebody with a gift of discernment tell somebody, no, don't see anything. If somebody has a gift of prophecy, no, shut up, don't prophesy. Because whatever God is giving them is for my benefit. Yes. Yes. See, if you love truth, if you love the truth, when people come to you, say, I got a word for you, you say, give it to me. Yes. Yes. The easiest way for you to get into a lie is by listening to yourself more than you are willing to listen to other people. Ask me why. Ask me why. Because when you're deceived, you don't know when you are. Deception won't be deception anymore once you know you're being deceived. That's why you need other people, because we all got blind spots. God is not giving one person all the gifts so that they know everything. No. We are a body, and He purposefully has anointed us to be gifted in some areas and to be extremely at a loss in some areas, just so that I need other people. I need somebody else. Come on. That's why you can't stay out of the church. Stay away from the body of Christ. We need each other. The Bible says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Once you think you're wise in your own eyes, nobody can tell you not. I already know you're foolish. I already know you're deceived. I want somebody else to be able to speak to me and tell me what I believe the Spirit of God is telling me, but I want to get confirmation. The Bible says there is safety in the multitude of counselors. When we all operate in the gifts of the Spirit, we all can become each other's counselors. Yes. Holy Spirit will give us words for each other. Amen? Amen. Now, which gift? Let me ask this lady in yellow. I don't know your name. What's your name? Colin? Carlene? Carlene. Carlene, what gift out of all those gifts do you want to have more than anything else? If you had a choice, which one would you love to operate in? Gift of faith? Awesome. Next to you, what gift would you like to operate in? Prophecy. What gift would you love to operate in, Sister Pat? Prophecy. All right, let me just ask, how many of you would love, out of all the gifts, if the gift of prophecy is the gift you would love to have more than anyone else, raise your hands. Let me see it. If the gift of prophecy is the gift that you would love to have more than anything else, let me see it. Raise your hands. Prophecy. One, two. Only two people? Three? All right. How about the gift of faith? How many of you? Faith. All right. How about working of miracles? Let me see. How about gift of healings? How about tongues? One person said tongues. Two. All right, how about all of them? Good answer. I want them all, right? Here's why. The Holy Spirit, contrary to popular religious beliefs, the Holy Spirit does not only give some people a gift or some gifts. You receive the Holy Spirit, and He manifests Himself in you as He wills. So people say, well, I only got the gift of tongues. I only got the gift of healings. No, you have the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you have all the gifts. Right? And then He uses you as He sees fit when it's necessary. So there might be a time where He needs you to prophesy. And then there's a time where He needs you to work a miracle. And there's a time when He needs you to give a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom to someone. And you have to say, Holy Spirit, use me as you will. I'm not going to box you in. I'm not going to fit you into my theological box. I'm not going to restrict myself or cap myself. That's why we say, spring up a well in me. I want all that God has in me to be exposed, to be on display. I want God to manifest. Come on. How many people want God to use them in a mighty way? Come on, He's going to use you to heal the sick. He's going to use you to cast out devils. He's going to use you to discern good from evil. Come on, He's going to use you in this season in all the ways you are willing to be used. Come on. Lord, however you want to use me, however you want to use me, God, I am your possession as you will. See, in that level of faith is what Jesus walked in. Come on. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. So He was able to operate in all ways that men needed to be used, that God needed Him to be used. Come on. And so right now, I need you to lift up your hands, because the Holy Ghost is getting ready to activate parts of you that you didn't know you had Him in you. Come on. I said the Holy Spirit is about to activate giftings on the inside of you that you did not know you had in you. Hallelujah. Come on. If you receive the Holy Ghost, you already got the gift of tongues. If you receive the Holy Ghost, you already got the ability to interpret tongues. If you receive the Holy Ghost, you already can prophesy. Come on. If you receive the Holy Ghost, you already can work miracles. Come on. If you got the Holy Ghost, come on. Say, Holy Ghost, have your way. Come on. Say, have your way. Whoa. You see? And then what now happens is this. The Holy Spirit, once you pray that prayer, He starts to put you to work. He starts to put you to work. You see, only special people have received the Holy Spirit. He said, you are a peculiar people. You are a special people on the earth. Come on. You have God on the inside of you. So your personality does not dictate how God wants to use you. You can be quiet as a mouse, but when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you open up your mouth and all the hell starts to shake because the volume of God is heard. Come on, come on. When God says to speak, you speak, and then something happens. When God says to pray and you pray, something happens, because in your obedience, the power of God gets to be released in you. Man, if I had more time, I'll show you in John chapter 2. Jesus was at a wedding, and the Bible says they ran out of wine at the wedding. And then Mary comes to Jesus and tells Jesus they ran out of wine. Perfect segue. You're about to take communion. They ran out of wine. Jesus said, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. It's not my time. Mary didn't even respond to Jesus. She went to the servants and said, what? Whatever He says to do, do it. This is the secret to turning water into wine. You want to know how to turn water into wine? Whatever He says to do, do it. Some of you missed it. If you want to learn how to move in the supernatural, whatever he says to do, do it. Whatever God tells you to do, you're going to see the supernatural after you do it. You're going to see the miraculous. You're going to see breakthrough. You're going to see the impossible when you do what God says to do. He says to lay hands on the sick. What are you waiting for? Do it. Hallelujah. He said, speak to your mountains and it shall be removed. What are you waiting for? Do it. Come on. Who am I prophesying to? He said, you will cast out devils. What are you waiting for? Cast that devil out of your house. Cast that devil out of your children. Cast that devil out of your mother. Cast that devil out of your father. You have the authority. Come on, whatever Jesus said to do, do it. Come on. Look at somebody next to you and say, just do it. Just do it. Come on.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.